Welcome. You're listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. This is your host, John Marcellaro, and this week my guest is the creator of Graphic Converter Mac app, Thorsten Lemke. Thorsten, welcome.
Hi.
Nice to have you on the show. You are the creator of Lemke Software GmbH near Hanover, Germany, and we have a great connection, by the way, and the legendary developer of Graphic Converter Mac app, along with some other apps for the Mac. GmbH, I looked that up. It's like limited liability company. That's cool. I've been using Graphic Converter for years, since I can remember, since forever. It's been a staple of my workflow, and I love the app. And I'm so happy to have you on the show and finally meet you in person. It's delightful. So I wanted to ask you about your background before we get into Graphic Converter in detail, because it's a wonderful app, but I always want to find out from developers how they get started. When you were young, did you think you would become a software developer when you got older?
Not at the beginning. At the beginning, there was no computers. I'm now 48, so it's there was no personal computers at the beginning. I started with my first computer in 1982. That was a Commodore C64, and the C64 was very popular in Germany at that time. So that was at the age of 13.
So that was BASIC. Was that like the Apple II, where it had a BASIC interpreter built in?
Yes, BASIC and Assembler.
Assembly.
Yes.
I did some 6502 assembly language back in the early days of the Apple II. What was the Commodore CPU? Was that a Z80 or 6502 or what?
No, 8-bit processor.
So did that kind of warm you up to the idea of programming, or did you just kind of fall into BASIC with the Commodore and then you were kind of not knowing what you were going to do in high school?
I learned BASIC with that machine, and after a few years, I switched to an Atari ST with much more power and graphical interface. And on that machine, I learned myself Pascal and C.
So you were really into programming at that time. So
yes.
Were you thinking about becoming a professional programmer at this point, or is that still far away?
That was still far away at that time.
What did you think your career was going to be like? Did you have an idea about it? Some people don't know in high school what they want to do. Did you?
No, not directly. Something technical, but there was not a direct idea.
Did you develop any software that you sold on the Atari, or was that just a learning experience?
That was just a learning experience, and I made some free software and shared it at that time.
So let's see, that was well before the internet. How did you share that? Was that on bulletin boards or just
yes, on bulletin boards, uploaded with modems. Yes, long ago.
I went through that phase. I started off with a Hayes 300 bit per second modem on my Apple II. And when I connected to the university computer, I was in heaven. This was the very first time I'd ever done that from home with a little 300 bit per second Hayes modem. And then we went through the 9600 bits per second, and then we went to 16, and then we went to 56,000. We thought we were in heaven with 56,000 bits per second. So did you fall into the Mac world at some point?
Yes, in 1992, I bought my first Mac because I did not like Windows and DOS at that time. That was really terrible. I developed an application under DOS and Windows, and that was a really terrible experience. So I bought the first Mac. It was an 2SI with around 17 megabytes of memory and 40 megabyte hard disk. And it was very expensive at that time as a Mac in Germany.
Oh, yeah. I guess you had import duties or something like that. Yeah.
And we had Mac Apple stores at that time, but the system was around 10,000 German marks.
Wow. Let's see. That would be about maybe $2,000 or $3,000.
Yes.
How did you afford that? Were you working at this point?
No, I did study electrical engineering, and I developed a commercial application for a big company in this area under DOS and Windows, and so I was able to afford the Mac.
Ah, so I'm starting to see a story here. I think a lot of us went through that phase where we were working professionally with Windows, and then we went home and we loved our Macs in the evening and did something more fun. Yeah, sounds familiar. Yes. So tell me about what happened next. Were you continuing to work for a big company? I was looking at the LinkedIn profile, and I forgot the name of the company you were working for. Was it Geiss?
Yes, that was Geiss.
So that's nice to have a professional introduction to programming and work for somebody else and kind of roll up your sleeves and learn how to do things and then buy your Mac and have a good time with that. So it was kind of tough to write applications on the Mac in the early days. I don't remember quite how that worked. We didn't have Xcode. There was some other development system that was used for the classic Mac. What was that? I forgot.
That was MetaWorks, Pascal, and C.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Pascal. That went away quickly.
Yes, but in 1992, that was the standard language for developing apps on the Mac.
Right. I think even the Mac OS, the classic Mac OS 6, 7, 8 was written in a hybrid of Pascal and C, as I recall. And
yes.
When they went to Mac OS 10, they started all over again and just went with mostly C and Objective-C, I think. So at some point, you got to be really good with image editing. How did you learn about image processing and image formats?
First, my study of electrical engineering at the Technical University here in Brunswick did help a lot. And then I collected a lot of books and articles, visited libraries, and contacted companies for technical file format descriptions. That was the standard way at that time to get some information.
What inspired you to get into graphics specifically? I mean, some people fall into games. Was it being able to do games that drove your interest, or was it some technical interest or interest in photography?
Yes, technical interest in images and photos. I had a lot of clip arts from my Atari and found no good application for the conversion and viewing on the Mac. So I began with the development of graphic converter.
What was the original design of graphic converter? Was it just to convert between one image format and another? Was that the original goal? Because that's the name, right?
Yes. At the beginning, it was just opening, viewing, and saving.
Right.
Images.
Did you ever think it would become what it is today?
No, not really.
So did you develop graphic converter on your own in the evening, or was it a project that started with your company?
It was at the beginning a private project just beside studying and after my studies, besides a normal job, and then it grows step by step.
So graphic converter shipped when? What year?
The first version, 1992.
That would have been the old Mac OS 7 or 7.1,
yes, 7,
right?
7.
Yeah, Mac I remember 7. Those days because I was at the Oak Ridge National Lab and I had a Quadra 700 with a Motorola 68040 running Mac OS 7. I also running AUX. on it. That was kind of cool. That was my first introduction to Unix. And it might have been that I ran across Graphic Converter at that point. So you started shipping Graphic Converters simply as a converter app, as you said, about 1992. That was still before the internet. What was the best way you sold that? Was it through mail order or through bulletin boards, downloads?
By mail order, and at that time with via CompuServe. The CompuServe.
CompuServe.
Yes, CompuServe.
All right.
Offered a special page or area in to sell software.
Did the app take off right away, or was it really kind of a slow starter?
It was a slow start. I got more and more step by step.
How much did it sell for back in those early days? I bet it was a lot less than now.
Yes, maybe 10 or 20 copies in 1 month.
Oh, and it was much less expensive, I imagine, at that time, right? Maybe.
Yes.
Or was it shareware?
Yes, it was shareware.
Ah, good start. It's amazing how that program has started and grown and become so capable over the years. So you wrote Graphic Converter for Mac OS 7. Was it primarily in Pascal?
Yes, it was primarily in Pascal, and then later, step by step, additional code in C.
Did there come a time when Mac OS 10 came out where you said, okay, I got to bite the bullet and completely rewrite this in C or Objective-C and get rid of all the Pascal? Was there a big change?
Yes. I had to do the step when Apple started with the Intel machines. The complete application was rewritten in Objective-C.
Okay. That makes sense. Right. But only when the Intel machines came out. Right. So that was, what, 2005?
Yes, around.
Around there. Well, all right. Well, that's a great introduction and background to an amazing app. I want to talk to you in the second half of the show a little bit more about Graphic Converter, its capability, and some of the other apps that you've been developing. But right now, we have to take a short commercial break. Folks, we'll be back in 60 seconds. Stay with us. I'm talking to Thorsten Lemke.
Hello there, all you fabulous Background Mode listeners. I'm Kelly Gamont with the Mac Observer, and I just want to say a few words about how you can support all the things we do. If you're thinking about buying something from Apple, Amazon, or Mac Mall, just go to the Mac Observer's homepage where we have a section called Support TMO. Or you can just enter macobserver.com/Apple Store, all one word, and that will take you to our special page for Apple and our other affiliates. If you make a purchase from one of our partners this way, the Mac Observer receives a small compensation for sending business their direction. Pretty cool, right? And you don't pay a penny more. This small fee from our affiliates helps us continue to bring you TMO's daily news, reviews, tips, how-tos, and podcasts like this one. So the next time you're thinking about an online purchase, come to TMO's homepage and support the Mac Observer. Thanks. Back to you, John.
We're back. I'm talking to Graphic Converter developer Thorsten Lemke. Thorsten, tell me, for the listeners, I've been using it for years, but for the listeners who may not be familiar with it, tell me all about Graphic Converter today, what it's designed to do, what its capabilities are, some of its major features, and why an Apple customer may want to buy it.
Graphic Converter is a very powerful product. Now, the main feature is a graphical picture browser that is a central place that allows you to view your images that are stored in folders. It allows batch conversion. You can edit and view all metadata and much more. Also, you can edit images with various filters, make slideshows, and a lot of more.
You can import raw photos from your camera.
Yes, it supports RAW and around 200 image file formats in addition.
Is there anything that Apple's Aperture could do that your program cannot, or is it a replacement for Aperture?
you can use it as a replacement. But you work in Graphic Converter with your normal file system. You have no database for your images. But a Graphic Converter offers features like lossless, raw editing, for example, too.
Is there anything that sets Graphic Converter apart from some of the other competitors that you would say is special?
Yes, very special is my support. Each customer gets normally a reply within 24 hours.
Okay, yeah, I've always had good responses from you. I've had questions from time to time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there things that Photoshop can do that Graphic Converter cannot?
Yes, Photoshop is very different to Graphic Converter. It's for professional image editing with very special effects and features. So Graphic Converter has a different direction.
But you do have layers. It's just that
yes,
you don't,
I have.
Just don't you, have those plugins to do all the exotic effects.
Yes.
We talked about the evolution of Graphic Converter and becoming a really big, big project. Since it's a much more complicated app now, are you getting a lot of questions that people ask you, or are they going to the manuals to your satisfaction?
I get a lot of questions, but that helps me to improve the software and to make it more simple in that special areas.
Yeah, one of the things I like is the little windows you can open, the XF window and the XY window, so I can see where my cursor is. Yeah. I've learned how to use the Graphic Converter over the years, slowly, bit by bit, and still am overwhelmed by its power and capability. But there is a manual for it. If you go to the Graphic Converter homepage, there is a PDF manual. I noticed that it's up to version 9. Does there really need to be a Graphic Converter manual for 10, or the difference is not that great?
There is a manual for Graphic Converter 10 inside Graphic Converter 10. Just go to the help menu and access it.
Ah, okay. Is that a replacement for the PDF, or is it just supplemental?
It's a new PDF for the current version, describes all new features.
All right. Excellent. I noticed the Graphic Converter has a free trial. How long is that? Is that indefinite?
Yes, there's no real time limit, but at each startup, the delay does increase. So you have to wait up to 30 seconds before the launch.
I think that's worked out for you very nicely because it's a very popular app and you have many, many users. I guess the free trial has been a success for you.
Yes, I think. And I like that myself too, because maybe some users only need the software a few times each month. Mm-hmm. So they can try it.
How many paid customers do you have?
I have around 1.5 million users.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm thinking of the statistics of that. With 1.5 million users, you must get a support inquiry every few seconds.
I improved the software in this area, so most is solved directly by the software, and so I get normally more special customer requests.
Okay.
For special features.
All right. So one of the things that's cool about Graphic Converter is that it's localized for a lot of languages. Who does that for you? Or do you do it?
No, I do only German and English. And I have a lot of freelancer translators around the world who translates the software, and some translators also publish or distribute the software in their area.
Okay, so there's 12 languages supported altogether. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Do you work alone in your office, or do you have a team with you there?
I work mainly alone. In the past, McKeith Software helped me a lot to do the complete conversion of the application from Pascal and C to Objective-C, because that was really a lot of work. It took many months.
You did a great job. So I have a question. As Mac OS has evolved through the years, you know, it started off as a pretty nice nifty BSD Unix with a pretty nice GUI. But over the years, Apple has really made a lot of changes to Mac OS, especially since Lion. And there was the famous save and save as fiasco, and then there's sandboxing. As Mac OS has evolved over the years, have there been any interesting challenges that you faced because of the changes in the development environment or the structure of Mac OS, or has it been smooth sailing?
It depends on each Mac OS release. The biggest issue was the introduction of sandboxing only for the Mac App Store version of Graphic Converter. That caused a lot of trouble due to the architecture of Graphic Converter. That is the reason why the Mac App Store version of Graphic Converter has some limitations against the normal version.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so I've been using the download paid version from your website for all these years. Can you tell us real briefly what some of the limitations are of the Mac App Store versions, just for the listener's sake?
Yes, the Mac App Store version doesn't support some legacy formats like PhotoCD or ECV or MRSID. It has some limitations in the batch conversion and using external utilities. But I offer for all Mac App Store customers, they can contact me by email, submit their receipt, and then I will issue a normal license.
Excellent, excellent. That's a great way to get the customers involved in Graphic Converter and introduction, and then a very elegant way to upgrade them to the full capability. That's nice. I like that. Do you make it to WWDC? I know Jeff Gamet saw you talk, but I forget where it was. Did you used to go to WWDC? Do you still go?
Not at the moment, because it's now difficult to get a ticket.
Yeah, it's really focused on iOS a lot, too.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of iOS, a lot of developers who build Mac apps that are really, really famous branch out a little bit. They consider maybe a Windows version. I know you're allergic to Windows, so you're probably not considering a Windows version of Graphic Converter ever, right?
I thought about that, but
because
I got I got many requests for such a version, but it would require a complete new development, which would be very expensive.
What about an iOS miniature version as an introduction to the big version?
That would require a complete new development too, and I get a lot of requests for this, but when I ask the users what they want exactly, then most people say, we don't need it.
Ah, okay. Well, that's the way it goes usually. People kind of just think about it as a fantasy, and then when it comes down to real programming facts, yeah, you're right. So if there is a... I'm not trying to take away any attention from Graphic Converter, but if somebody were using Windows, what would be the most similar substitute in lieu of Graphic Converter on Windows? Is there an app that you know of that kind of does a halfway job of what your app does?
Not really. Not in that combination.
All right. So the other one thing I want to ask you about is that with 1.5 million users out there, are you continuing to grow and attract new users, or is it mostly now upgrades from your legacy base?
I attract new users too, because there are a lot of switchers from Windows thanks to the iOS devices. And my app helps them to transfer their images and work with them.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. So, heaven forbid, are you thinking about a subscription model in the future? Please say no.
No, I don't like that model.
I don't either. I try to be neutral about it, but deep down, you know, I'm kind of old school here. I like to buy an app, you know, and get upgrades and when I'm ready to do the upgrades. Okay, so enough on Graphic Converter. So you've developed some other apps along the way, like Cadentosh and Fontbook. Tell me about the other apps you've created and why you created them and how the heck you had time to do that.
Yes. The first app is Cadentosh. That is a two-dimensional construction application for technical drawings and floor plans. I developed that application for other people.
Why did you do that? Was there customers asking you to do that, or did you have a business opportunity? What drew you into that?
At the beginning, in around 1988, this was a fun project. And then the project did grow, and we found a lot, or we got a lot of customer feedback, and so we continued to develop it.
Okay.
And the next is Fontbook. That is a little utility which creates catalogs of all installed fonts or from maybe CDs with fonts. That's just a utility.
You know, that's something we used to do in the old days. We used to collect and manage fonts on our Macs. Maybe some people do that, but I kind of fell out of it. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why we Mac users don't tend to think of managing and collecting fonts anymore? Has it become unnecessary, or we just don't think to do it, or what?
You need it if you have a big library of fonts. So you get nice PDF catalogs with a quick preview of the font.
Are these products contributing significantly to your income, or are they just sort of minor side projects?
I'm not trying to font. Yes, Fontbook is a minor project, but Cadentosh is one of the major apps too.
Are you thinking about developing any new projects you want to tell us about, or is that still secret?
It's still secret at the moment.
All right, that's great. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Whatever you build, I'm a customer.
Okay, but before I forget, one big new program, that's Epicolor. It's a great plugin for Final Cut Pro for automatic color correction. It uses directly the GPU for acceleration, and just try it, and it gives great results.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're just about out of time. We've covered everything I wanted to ask you about. One final question. Since you sort of are a one-man operation, heaven forbid if Thorsten got run over by a bus. Do you have arrangements for another company to sort of take it over? Have you thought about that?
Not yet.
Not yet. Not time for that. Yeah. Okay. Well, God bless you. I don't want anything to happen to you, but I just want to make sure Graphic Converter stays around forever and ever, because I live and breathe in that app. So congratulations on building it, and thank you. Thank you for building Graphic Converter. It's a wonderful application. So we'll have to bring it to a close. We're about out of time. Thank you for being on the show, and thank you for telling us about your life and Graphic Converter and your other products. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Tell the listeners how they can contact you if they wish.
Just send an email to support@lemkesoft.com.
LEMKESOFT, one word, .com.
Yes.
All right, Thorsten. Well, thank you for coming by and being on the show. You've been listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. Folks, we'll see you next week.